Are you feeling the change of time? This morning, early this morning, 2 o'clock this morning, daylight saving time began. It started yet again. And you probably set your clock forward 1 hour before retiring to bed for sleep. But over the next few days and weeks, maybe even up to a month or a little longer, we will experience the effect of this time change. Some people like it. Some people do not like it. Some people, or at least I think most people from whom I've talked to, would say, I'm okay with it either way. Just set it one way and leave it alone. Two of the least reputable opponents of daylight savings time in its history must have been William Bell and Jacob Rosenwasser, convicted murderers on death row at Sing Sing Prison in Ossining, New York. Bell had been convicted of killing a Long Island man, and Rosenwasser was condemned to death for committing murder in Manhattan. But when they awoke on Sunday, April the 30th of 1922, 9 days before their date with the electric chair, they realized that the clocks had been advanced, effectively shortening their remaining lives by an hour. Unless he got a stay of execution, Bell protested, the local daylight saving law had unfairly shortened his remaining life. He lamented, I quote, I don't like to lose an hour. Nonetheless, their objections were of no avail, and the hour of their executions remained unchanged. If the two men who were pleading for an additional hour of life had always made a proper use of the time at their disposal, the probability is that they would be little concerned about the additional hour to which they thought they were entitled. And thus, this morning, I want us to look at one precious hour. Scripture speaks about an appointed time for everything, and every hour, therefore, should be precious to us. Considering the precious nature of 1 hour, Matthew chapter 20, Jesus warned against serving with the wrong motives. Listen to Jesus in Matthew 20, beginning in verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius for the day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to those he said, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. And so they went. Again, he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did the same thing. And about the 11th hour, he went out and he found others standing around. And he said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day long? They said to him, because no one hired us. And he said to them, you go into the vineyard too. That question, which we find in verse number 6, about them standing in the marketplace idle all day long, can be a question of rebuke, where the landowner is rebuking them for having stood in the marketplace instead of taking a job. Or it can be an inquisitive, desiring simply an explanation. And I believe that that's what the landowner wanted. He simply wanted to know why it was that they were still there at so late of time in the day. In their case, their response, verse 7, no one had hired them. They were there at the marketplace early that morning, maybe not at the beginning of the day as others were, but certainly in the earlier parts of the day, they had been there to get a job for the day. Their livelihood depended upon it. Their family's needs for that day would be met by their work for that day. And so they stood there, waiting for someone to hire them, someone to send them into the vineyard to work. But when the work day was completed at evening time, around 6 p.m., the owner said to his stewards, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last to the first." Here is what unfolded, verses 9 through 12. "When those hired about the 11th hour came, each one received a denarius. When those hired first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they grumbled at the landowner, saying, 'These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the scorching heat of the day.'" These men were each paid in the opposite order in which they were hired. And although only the last group and the first group are specifically mentioned as being paid, it is obvious that all groups were paid. Those hired in the 11th hour received a denarius, and they were no doubt thankful for their wages. But then came the group who was hired first, and they thought that because the ones who were hired later received what they had agreed to, that they should thereby receive more. So the workers of the first group, when they received their wages, and it was only a denarius, they felt mistreated and they complained. But the landowner had compassion. He had compassion on those who went to work for him in the last hours of the day. They needed the full day's wages in order to take care of their family's needs, just as those who were hired at the beginning of the day. The point from all of this is that followers of Christ need not worry about a reward. Christians should happily serve Christ and allow Christ to judge and reward His workers. Continue reading in Matthew 20 and verse 13. "But He answered and said to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius?'" God will never do anyone wrong. In fact, He will give to each one as each one has agreed. But He will also give generously. Verse 14 and 15, "Take what is yours and go, but I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own? Or is your eye envious because I am generous? So the last shall be first, and the first last." 1 hour of work in the kingdom is precious, and it is rewarded. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed to His Father. We pick up the reading in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39. "And He went a little beyond them, and He fell on His face and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will.' And He came to His disciples and found them sleeping. And He said to Peter, 'So you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour?'" Somewhat bitter accusation or denunciation is the tone of that question. "So you could not keep watch with me for 1 hour?" Verse 43 of Matthew 26 informs us that it was because their eyes were heavy their eyes were heavy, and so it was easy for them to fall asleep. Maybe they were tired from the day before or the long night of which they were already entering into. Maybe they were tired from all the hustle and bustle of the preparation that had been made throughout the week. Whatever the reason for their eyes being heavy, whatever the reason for them going to sleep, 1 hour of prayer for Jesus was 1 hour of sleeping and resting for Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. 1 hour of work, 1 hour of prayer, 1 hour of rest. How precious even an hour may be under certain circumstances. But time is perishable and irreplaceable. God has given each one the same amount of time per day, 24 hours. Yet the quality of life, the joy in life, and the impact of our lives are directly related to how wisely we choose to use the time we have. A psalm of the sons of Korah gives a remarkable statement about God. It's recorded in Psalm 46, when God Himself speaks to the nation, saying, "Cease striving and know that I am God." There are two commands in this statement. Two commands. The Hebrew verb translated "be still" or "cease striving" means to be inactive. God commands us to be inactive. The second command He gives is to know. Know that I am God. The word "know" being used in the sense of to acknowledge, to recognize, to admit, to confess that I am God. If you read Psalm 46 at length, you find that it is in the midst of a section about war. War in which much activity is disruptive, disorienting, and disastrous, that God says, "Be inactive and know." When we rest our bodies and let our minds consider the world around us, we realize that He is God. It's amazing then that Jesus, in inviting all those who are weary and heavy laden, did not invite them to come and follow Him and work till they've worked their fingers to the bone. He didn't invite them to work and continue working with no rest. Rather, He said, "Come and follow Me, come to Me, and I will give you rest." Matthew 11 and verse 28. So managing our time is important. In order to manage time well, we must know our purpose. You must know your purpose. There are a number of purpose statements scattered throughout the Bible for which all believers are called to fulfill. Any one of those purpose statements could be used for our personal purpose in life. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15 is one such statement. It calls us all to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, Christ. Maturity in Christ should be a part of our purpose. Whatever our purpose statement in life is, it should include something about maturing in Christ. Maturity in Christ is accomplished, though, by receiving the salvation He offers, by being useful in His service, and becoming Christ-like in character. Maturity, therefore, cannot be hurried. It's not something that happens overnight. It's not something that happens with a simple change of the clock. It takes time do you live life according to a purpose? Knowing our purpose, we manage time well by prioritizing. We know what priorities are, do we not? A priority is a thing that is more important than other things. Prioritizing then is placing the important things in order of their importance. When we know our purpose, our priorities become evident, or at least they should be evident. For example, the purpose of living a life that grows up in all aspects into Him who is the head makes clear that we are to seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness. Matthew 6 and verse 33. But unhealthy and unclear priorities leave us uncertain about what to do and what not to do. This usually results in us doing too many things and none of them really well. Arranging priorities, though, is tough work because we must say no to good things so that we can say yes to better things. What is really hard, though, is determining which things are better things versus best things. Then choosing to say no to the better things in order to say yes to the best things. Jesus said in John 15 and verse 2 that every branch that bears fruit, He, God, prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. He has to say no to the better thing of producing fruit so that He can say yes to the best thing, that of producing more better fruit. Pruning our activities, pruning our commitments, help us become even more productive and may even help us be more creative. Do you know your priorities? Are they arranged in the order of their importance? Effective time management includes knowing your purpose, prioritizing your priorities, and having a plan. Paul advised the Ephesian brethren, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 16, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time. A simple rhyme, from whom I do not know, says, let a daily list guide each day, or time like a ghost will slip away. It's important that we manage our time and we manage it well. But to do so, we must have a plan. We must plan what we will do, when we will do it, how much time we will give to it. Some, though, seem to be so guided by time planning that they want to plan every little detail. One such gentleman tried time planning when he and his family was on vacation. He lamented later, that is when my wife drew the line and said, nope, there will be no daily list while we're on vacation. Vacations are pre-planned periods for getting off a daily plan. What a great plan. It has a purpose. It has priority, and it is a plan. You see, each day is a distinguished 24-hour gift from God, and we are stewards of each day. Being stewards of each day, we will be held accountable for what we did with the time God gave us. Do you have a plan? Do you know how you are going to accomplish your purpose in life today? Perhaps you are one who needs to set your priorities on God. Believe and trust in God, Hebrews 11:6, for without faith it is impossible to please Him. Repent, that means turn away from your misguided living and turn to God, Acts 26 and verse 18. Confess Jesus Christ, confess Him as the Son of God, Romans 10 verses 9 and 10. Then be baptized, washing away your sins, Acts 22 and verse 16. Perhaps you have not been living according to your God-given purpose. Maybe your priorities have gotten out of order, or your plans have not included God. And we would encourage you this morning to know your purpose. Know your purpose, establish your priorities, and then day by day, work your plan. If heaven is your goal, then live according to the purpose God has given to all believers. And as you do so, the priorities of salvation, obedience, and diligence are the most important things needed to reach that goal, and they will become evident to you. Every hour is precious. Time is perishable and irreplaceable. Managing time is important. Therefore, make the most of your time, walking wisely in the counsel of God's Word. One precious hour can make the difference in your eternal reward. So we plead with you, in this hour, set your priorities on God. Set your priorities on God and dedicate your life. Commit yourself to living for Him according to His will. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as we sing to encourage you.